Ed the Flea Bell is a former Idaho State wide receiver, recently brought to our attention and everybody else's attention because of the College Football Hall of Fame's nominations, and he's on the ballot along with Case DeBruin, a punter from the 80s at Idaho State. But Ed joins us, a former New York Jet as well. I guess you're getting ready for some Jazz in Washington, D.C. Ed, thanks for coming aboard.
Yes, thanks a lot.
So let's talk about the Hall of Fame and so forth in terms of when this became to your awareness. When did they bring this to you? When did you know that you may be up for this award?
Oh, it was about a year ago. Someone called me and let me know that I was going to be a nominee at some point. So I got together all my scraps and all my little books that I'd paste up when I was playing, and I sent them all that I had. So they took those and decided whatever they were going to do with it, that maybe it was enough to make me at least a nominee.
Hey, Ed, what was the way that you ended up at Pocatello at Idaho State? Were you born and raised there? Did you come from somewhere else? How did it work?
No, I came from Waco, Texas. But I got no scholarships offers at big schools, major schools here in Texas. So I went to California, Compton. My aunt had moved out there, and I decided I'd move with her. And I'd always saw that, and you could go to school at Compton, and from there you could transfer to University of Southern California, UCLA, and a number of schools. And would you believe it, John McKay of University of Southern California offered me a scholarship.
What?
And so did Idaho State. And the reason I ended up at Idaho State, that O.J. Simpson was going to University of Southern California, and I had ran track against him, and I'd seen him play football, and I said, boy, if I was the coach at USC, I'd give it to O.J. every time. So I went to Idaho State.
Really? So you looked at that situation, Ed, and you said, they're not going to throw the football, they're going to run it. What am I going to do there?
They're going to run the football, absolutely.
But you knew, on the other hand, you were going to go play at that time would have been a small college or Division II level of football versus one of the perennial powerhouses. Even at that time, everybody knew they were a powerhouse. That's
right.
There was no school in between?
Nothing in between. I got an offer to go to University of Southern California. They even gave me a job. I worked at the airport because of John McKay, and until I made my decision, I said, no, Debbie Holt said, we'll be throwing you the football. And I said, well, I'd rather be catching it. And if I'm at USC, OJ's going to be running it, and I'm going to be watching him and blocking for him.
Yeah, like everybody else. Ed the Flea Bell is joining us. He started with the New York Jets in 1970 and played quite a while in the NFL. He joins us here on Sports Radio The Ticket with Case and Prater. So you joined the 1970 Jets. This is the first time, you know, the AFL-NFL merges, and here you come into New York. What was the atmosphere like in New York with the big change in the NFL then?
The atmosphere was wild because Joe Namath was the man at the time, and he made the difference between the AFL. They had just won the Super Bowl. They had just beat the Baltimore Colts as the number three Super Bowl. So that put him on the landscape as the greatest quarterback ever, because he said he would win. He held his hand up that we're going to win the Super Bowl. Nobody believed him because they were still the AFL, not the NFL. That became a merger later after we won. So they won actually in 1968. I came in 1969-70 and had no idea I'd be one of the receivers for Joe Namath. I mean, come on, I went to the best quarterback in the business. And you better be on your game if you're going to play there. So I went there with the Jets in the ninth round. Even though I led the nation in pass receiving at Idaho State, if you're 150 pounds, don't exactly get you a number one draft choice, even though you did lead the nation in pass receiving. So all I had to do is, to myself, I said, I have to do something to make them know that I deserve to be here and I deserve to play with the number one team at the time. The New York Jets just won the Super Bowl. So we got there, and I was scared to even go and shake Joe's hand. I was just so in awe of this guy who I'd heard about and seen and watched play. Eubanks said, Eddie, go over there and talk to him. I said, is that what you do, just walk up and talk to him? I was a little shy until I started catching the football. And when they saw me catch the football, they said, oh, I think we got one. And Joe Namath said to another guy, and then a teammate of mine told me, Joe said, somebody's going to lose their job. And George Shaw was all pro.
Mm-hmm.
John Manley in the Hall of Fame, all pro. I said, well, where the heck am I going to play?
How did you get on the field?
Well, catch the football. Something in me always just said, do your job and do your job well. And do your job so well that the living and the dead and the unborn couldn't do it any better. And that's what I did. Everything they threw me, for some reason or another, I remember, I caught it. I can't even remember ever even dropping the ball in practice or nowhere. Just catch the ball, and they'll see you.
Well,
what
did
I do? The first time George Shaw pulled a muscle, I believe, before we played my first game, and Willie Eubanks said, Eddie, you're going to have to go. George pulled up, can't go, so you're going to have to go. All I can remember is picking up my telephone in the locker room before we went back out to play the game. And I called my sister, Evelyn. I said, put the television on the porch. I'm getting ready to make my debut. I want everybody to see this.
Hmm.
Right?
Hmm.
And she put the television on the porch. And everybody lived anywhere near my family. They came over to watch it. And little did I know that I'd catch 12 passes in one game and tie the club record, which still stands today. Don Maynard, Ed Bell, and Art Powell on that record.
Wow, Ed Bell's
joining us. The
most
catches in one game, so that's how they saw me.
Joining us here on Sports Radio 93.1 FM and 1350 AM, the ticket, Caves and Prater. And another thing in that 1970 season, first time a Monday night football game was played. Did you get in that particular game? That was the first one ever. Did you think that was a good idea, by the way, Ed? Or did you think, I don't want to play on Monday. I want to play Sunday. Or what was the reaction like?
Right then, we didn't know what was going to happen. I remember that game well. Joe Namath, we were in Cleveland when we did, played it in the first Monday night football game. It was a doubleheader.
Mm-hmm.
And we just had no idea what was going to happen, and certainly we all know that revolutionized watching football on Sundays, and then that's the only time you could watch it, and sometimes on Saturday. But Monday night became the night for television in America. It preempted many top-flight television shows.
How did you, sounds like football was a very serious part for you, but how did you enjoy or appreciate or embrace the circus atmosphere of Joe Namath and the Jets and New York City? Did you appreciate and enjoy that?
Yes, I did. I sat back and watched one of the greatest that's ever played the game. Everywhere we went, the hotels were so full that we could hardly even sit down and eat our meals. But we had to go somewhere in a private room and do so. When we played in Buffalo, people came over from Canada, Montreal, and then Toronto close by. And the hotel lobby was always filled. It was a, like you say, it was a circus atmosphere. And Joe Namath had to be sort of escorted around by security because the women just were all over him. And he was Mr. Cool and the guy with the fur coat and the hazel eyes and and the classy style of throwing the football. I mean, he had the best throwing arm, style of throwing that I've ever seen in my life. And everybody liked him. He was fun. And just included everybody. Just a great guy. He just made things just much better. It wasn't like football. It was like a circus, more or less.
Yeah. Yeah. So Ed, you're in there with the Jets. I mean, you took off a year before Namath did. Namath lasted till 76. It looks like you left after the 75 season. How was the end for you? And when did you know it was time to call it quits?
I really didn't know. I only know that I think he said to me one day, Eddie, were you running? And this is a remark to me. That I threw it as best as I've always thrown it, but looked like you might be slowing down a little bit. I said, not really. I said, I have a little hitch in my groin muscle.
Mm-hmm.
Might be slowing me down, but as far as I know, I still got the same hustle and desire that I've always had for this game. But the doctor said something to me. It was more significant. And he said, Ed, I was the first doctor that actually, gave you an examination. And you had almost no fat on you at all. You were lean. You were strong as ever. He said, you have a heart murmur now.
Oh.
I said, a heart murmur. Yeah. And that's all he said.
Hmm.
And I wasn't invited back the next year. So that told the story. But I didn't think I was through. I didn't think I was finished.
Well, you're only 30 years old. You're only 30.
I know, but I picked up the telephone and I called Bart Starr. I said, you guys need a receiver over there. I sort of look at all the teams, too, like everybody does, and see who needs receivers, who you think you could beat out over there. So he brought me in, and believe me, I caught 3 passes in that game, 1 for a touchdown, and I was ready. But what happened, I got my jaw broke. Greg Rizzino came over with his forearm and leveled me in Milwaukee County Memorial Stadium and knocked me out, brain concussion. Broken jaw in 3 places, zygomatic arch bone. And when they took me to the hospital, I actually died on the operating table. The operation didn't go well, so they had to operate 3 times. And pretty much that told me, and I always said, if I ever got hurt seriously, I would just call it quits. And I thought that was time for me to say, thank you, and I've enjoyed myself, and I'll see you later.
With so much attention on post-football players' lives, and head injuries and health and all that kind of stuff. How did you come through? How do you feel about that? How's your mental faculties?
Well, I have a difficult time with short-term memory and that whole 9 yards. And it's something that stays with you, and it gets worse as you get older. And I've had many CT scans, and it shows very clearly that I've had some concussion problems, some brain injury, and some cognitive loss, things that I used to do and do very well. I was diminishing in that area, so the cognitive senses are not as strong as they used to be.
Did you ever get involved with the legal process and the old-timers getting involved in that, or were you comfortable with your football career and just kind of wanted to move on?
I kind of wanted to move on. I was comfortable with it, and I was fortunate enough to actually start an acting career. I went to the American Academy of Dramatic Arts when I finished, and I finished up there and did my work, and I guess you call it a graduation. I did my final play, and I started working on All My Children and Search for Tomorrow and Wonder Woman, 8 is Enough, Grandpa Goes to Washington. So I said, well, this is a smooth transition for me. I did 25 national commercials after that.
Wow, seems like things worked out. Things worked out for you, Ed. It's a great story. We hope things go well and you end up with the National College Football Hall of Fame in January. We appreciate you joining us, and best of luck to you.
Thank you very much. That would be a great honor indeed.
Thank you, Ed.